When we left our story last night, we were at Belden Avenue Baptist Church in 1932. The General Association of Regular Baptist Churches had just been formally reorganized out of the wreckage of the old Baptist Bible Union. But in 1932, the organization was, to put it in the terms of Genesis 1:2, without form and void. There wasn't a lot to it. It's difficult to find out whether Ketchum was even there. As recently as 2 weeks before the meeting, he was saying that he didn't intend to be. He still wasn't in favor of a nationwide meeting. Later on, he thought that he remembered being there. I've lived long enough to know you can think you remember a lot of things. His name's not on the list. I make no judgment about whether he was there or not, but I do know this. Over the succeeding year, Oliver W. Van Ostel, you remember Van Ostel from Wealthy Street Baptist Church, he's now about 83 years old, and he went to work on Ketchum and persuaded Ketchum of the value of a nationwide organization. And so in 1931, Ketchum showed up, and there still wasn't a lot of organization that took place, but Ketchum was elected vice president of the organization. In those days, they didn't have the council system that you have now. They had a president, a vice president, and an executive committee. Ketchum was elected as vice president, and then the next year, 1934, did I say 1931? He showed up in 1933 and was elected as vice president. In 1934, he was elected as president, and then every year succeeding that, until the council system was adopted, Ketchum was elected as president. Van Ostel was not there in 1933. There was a flu epidemic sweeping the nation. Some things never change, right? And Van Ostel was struck down by that epidemic. He was in bed. He was very, very sick. He nearly died. And when he recovered, he never fully recovered. He was a very frail man. But he was determined to attend the 1934 meeting of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Now, he had already resigned his pastorate, and the church had called a young graduate of Princeton Seminary, David Otis Fuller, to accept that pastorate. And of course, those of you who know a bit about regular Baptist history know that Fuller stayed with Wealthy Street for decades after that and became a major power for Baptist fundamentalism in western Michigan. But Van Ostel wanted to be to the 1934 meeting for a specific reason. Van Ostel was deeply burdened for missions. Home missions, foreign missions, didn't matter how you sliced it, he had a burden for it. Back in the old days, as a young man, he had helped to organize much of the missions work within what eventually became the Northern Baptist Convention. And if he was walking out of the convention, which he had, he didn't want to leave the cause of missions unaddressed. And so he came in 1934 and addressed the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches and urged them to establish a mission society. He wanted them, as an association, to establish a regular Baptist missions organization, patterned much on the way that the old convention had done things. Of course, Ketchum was at the meeting as well, and it was Ketchum's first year as president. And Ketchum also spoke to the issue, and he said that he was dead set against the GARB forming any organizations or having any intractable ties with service organizations like schools or mission agencies. You see, Ketchum was thinking back to Des Moines University, and he realized if you get tied to an organization, how easy it is for a mission agency, for a school, for some other kind of organization to just bring you down in a hurry. And he was determined that the GARB was never going to have a formal organization of its own for missions, for education, in any other capacity. So you've got Ketchum, who's at one pole of the debate. You've got Van Ostel, who's at the other pole of the debate. And it looks like the fledgling GARBC is getting ready to have its first knockdown, drag-out fight. And somebody stands up and says, I move that we put Dr. Ketchum and Dr. Van Ostel on a committee to come back with a solution to the problem that we seem to be facing. And so they locked him in a room together and didn't let him out until they solved the problem. And the solution that they came out with was something that no one had ever tried before. You see, all over the country, there were Baptist agencies for education, for missions, and for other purposes, but especially for missions. There was the General Council on Cooperating Baptist Missions, sometimes called the Mid-Africa Mission. Now it's called Baptist Mid-Missions. There was the Association of Baptists for the Evangelism of the Orient, now called Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And there were other organizations as well, the Sweet Baptist Mission to China, Leonardo Mercado's Mexican Gospel Mission. There were organizations out there. The problem was that it was difficult in the 1930s for the average pastor to know which organizations were really worth supporting and which ones were just fly-by-night operations or even shysters. And so the suggestion that they came with was this. They said, why don't we ask our executive committee, and later on they said our Council of 14, and still later, Council of 18, they said, why don't we ask our executive committee to investigate some of these independent organizations at their request, if they want to be investigated, our executive committee will investigate them, and if the organization bears investigation, then the executive committee will recommend this organization to the churches as one that is worthy of support. And the label they put on that was approval. Have you heard of the old approval system in the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches? This was the idea behind approval. The whole point of approval was to make sure that the institutions remained over there and the association remained over here, because you didn't want a direct tie, because if an institution goes down, it has a devastating effect on the churches. So you wanted to stay away from the institutions, but you also wanted to be able to offer an endorsement or a recommendation for the ones that were worth supporting. And once that approval system was in place, it worked very effectively for well over half a century. And now you know what approval was supposed to be, and in fact, how it did function for many years. In the early years of the GARB, there were institutions that were approved, and then if something happened, they'd be quickly disapproved. There was a college in Los Angeles. It was called Los Angeles Baptist Seminary, operated at the college level. Back in the 1940s, got a little touch of Pentecostalism on campus, and the Council of 14 said, clean up your act. Until you do, you're no longer an approved institution. Ironically, the same year, they took a look at Wheaton College, and Wheaton College had said, if you will approve Wheaton College, we will establish a chair of regular Baptist theology. And the Council of 14 said, sounds good to us. You're a good school. We recommend you. You are approved. By the way, that only lasted for a year. But for a long time, the approval system was very, very fluid in terms of the institutions, the organizations that were approved. And a lot got done under that system. Now you know where it came from, and you know why it worked the way that it did.